You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Get it right, bitch.
Spoiler warning!
I got to warn you. You're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
Once again, it is time for the Small Screen Spoiler Show, episode number 16. I am CJ, the best bad man we've got, Boat, and he's Jared Tainted Little Rat Heart Azevedo. How are you, sir?
I'm feeling fine. My little rat heart feels strong. It's not tainted at all.
There's an 80s song about that, right?
Tainted rat heart, something tainted rat heart, something like that, I think.
Indeed, something like that, yes. Marilyn Manson covered it before he went into nothingness.
Oh, we are all rock stars. Indeed. Something.
All right, this is, once again, Smaller Screen Spoiler Show, where we take this week, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, Episode 20, Scars, the season finale of Gotham, All Happy Families Are Alike, Episode number 22, and Daredevil, Episode 7, Stick, and Episode 8, Shadows in the Glass, and we go over them in depth. So, if you have not watched those, or don't like to be spoiled, come back later.
Or you can hang around and get spoiled.
Indeed.
Because you know you want to.
Yeah, exactly. Just treat yourself. You've had a very long couple of weeks, and you deserve it.
You deserve a spoiling.
So instead of paying
$150
on a massage, just come hang out and get spoiled here.
Indeed.
All right. So, let's go ahead and get started with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Episode number 20, getting close to it, getting the end of all the seasons.
I know.
Including ours.
It's coming close. What are we going to do? It's all gone.
It's all going to fade away, and a creepy thin man is going to stand. Oh, wrong song, or wrong show. All right, so.
What?
Scars.
Not to be confused with Scar.
Nope.
The line.
Exactly. Or Counting Stars, the song from Les Mis, or the song from One Republic.
As we know, we've all been losing sleep, thinking about the way things used to be.
Alright. So, oh boy, this episode where... hold on. Before I say anything, we have an introduction for this episode. I almost forgot.
Oh, we do have one.
Yes.
Okay. I was about to say, do we have?
Yes, we do. In fact, and I feel bad for almost skipping them. Give me a break. Here we go. This one here. Nope.
After building up to Age of Ultron last Scars. After building up to Age of Ultron last week, Scars completely skips the events of that movie and goes straight into Captain America: Civil War. After setting itself up as the big threat of the season, Foe Shield is instead handed over to Coulson, as long as ex-director Adama can keep his quorum of 12. And his first act is to reach out to the mutants. But is the leader going to be Professor X or Magneto?
Inhumans.
They're inhumans, not mutants.
He did that on purpose so he can make X comment.
I know.
So.
You can't say mutants. This is the MCU. We're not allowed.
Right. Yep.
But no, I love it. It's like, Age of Ultron. You watched that, right?
Yeah.
We're just going to assume you watched that.
Yeah.
So we can just roll.
Just roll right past it. Yep. Coulson saved the day and all of a sudden, magically, he's after a thrilling off-screen mission that doesn't work if you've not seen Age of Ultron. All of a sudden, this guy who was literally trying to kill Coulson last episode is all of a sudden friendly with him. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that helicarrier, that was an Age of Ultron. That was Coulson.
Yep. Off screen.
Just in case you didn't know. It all happened off screen.
This is one of those annoying things that I hate in comic books, too, and I understand they're doing it because it's play on comic books, where you don't get the entire story of the major crossover event unless you read all of the tie-ins.
Yes. Why not?
And this is just like that. Like, okay, you don't understand why.
I don't know. Part of me feels like maybe at one point they had a plan to, like, have this cool scene or maybe have Coulson and Ultron or something, and it just didn't work out. So they were just like, okay, we'll just, everybody saw that movie. We'll just roll with it. They saw the movie. They know what happened. It's fine.
I mean, thankfully, though.
Ultron, and we don't need anybody from Avengers in this show to bridge anything.
I mean, thankfully, you didn't really touch the major parts of it. You only really got to see kind of what was in the previews for Ultron, where, you know, Ultron, I mean, the only thing you want to understand is Coulson saving the day, saving thousands from Ultron. That's the only thing you won't really get, unless you watch both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and watched Age of Ultron. But the rest of it, what they reference, not really, like, not really what you don't see in the theaters, or in the trailers, rather. But yeah, I mean, this show is very obviously a, hey, you should watch these movies, because we're just going to talk about them, because, you know, we're them, so shut up.
Yeah, we'll have a little quick clip of something happening in Avengers, and, you know, whatever. So anyway, that was Theta Protocol, by the way.
Yep.
That thing we've been building up all season, it was the helicarrier in the movie. We'll give you that.
Yep.
And then we'll immediately move on.
Yeah. You don't touch on it again. You don't reference anything else.
But we'll bring in Patton Oswalt, because, you know, we got to use him just a little. Keep the awesome going in his sweet, sweet Star Wars sheet.
Yeah, right. I do like how they hold off on referencing.
And then we do a little, you know, a little Sky Mall dig.
Yeah. Oh, they're never going to go out of business.
Oh.
So sad. Sky Mall. And then we get the actual Inhumans dropped. Or was that last episode?
I don't know if they ever called them Inhumans.
I think this is the first episode that they flat out just called them Inhumans. You had Fitz drop the, your heartbeat is Inhuman before, but...
Yeah, there was that. And then the Kree guy, I don't think, called them Inhumans. He called them something else, I think.
Yeah, and this is the first time we've actually had the trademarked Inhumans shout out.
Inhumans, PM, owned by MCU, and not Fox.
Yeah, don't confuse them with mutants, even though we have Wolverine, Gambit, Nightcrawler.
There's no Wolverine.
Dare confuse them. She's one bone claw away from being Wolverine. Okay?
Man.
So, yeah, and so we did call it. Adama did die.
I was not expecting that so soon, and the way that it happened, though.
Yeah.
That they really kind of twisted that around there.
Yeah.
I was expecting one thing to happen, and they totally pulled the opposite. Oh, dear. I mean, I did write down that this will not end well.
Yeah, no.
But it did not end the way I expected it to end.
They also just completely pull the fact that Sonic is trying to rule the Inhumans. They're not even trying to hide that anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do we think she's going to make it to season 3? Reyna?
Reyna? Oh, sure. Reyna will make it. Cal will not.
No. He's in the Hornet's Nest. He's going to go Hulk in the S.H.I.E.L.D. base, and they're going to put him down.
No. I think, well, maybe not. I don't know. They may go ahead and make, like, Sky's mom the big bad of season 3. Or they may go ahead and end that here. I don't know.
No, they're going. They have to carry that. They have to carry that on, though. I mean, Sky's mom might be put away, but the Inhumans are going to continue to be a thing, because, well, they have to be.
Yep, because we have that whole thing at the end of Phase 3, that movie coming out called Inhumans.
Yep.
And we got lots of stuff to set up for that. I have a feeling that'll tie in pretty tightly with all that's going on in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Just a hunch.
Yeah, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is really, like, I think they kind of purposely glossed over it in Age of Ultron. I think they're going to tie really heavily into S.H.I.E.L.D. Civil War. It won't surprise me if we see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from the show in Civil War next year. And it won't surprise me if we see, like, Daredevil in Civil War next year.
Oh, yeah. They're just going to bring them all in.
I think Civil War is going to be the proper... and tune in this Friday, special notice. We're recording Friday at 10 p.m. for the Geek Rant and Review of Age of Ultron, because I'm going to see Frozen on Ice on Thursday. Prior engagement that was planned months ago that I completely forgot about.
Like you do. Like you do. But you know, Frozen on Ice.
Indeed. Kids. Yay.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. See that.
So I'm going to see that, and we're going to be recording Friday. But tune in Friday on my thoughts on Age of Ultron. But this one wasn't really, I mean, it wasn't as earth-changing as Ultron, as Avengers or Captain America Civil War. I mean, you had a town that was clearly trying to reference Latveria from Doctor Doom, but since we can't use Doctor Doom in Latveria, we're going to use Ultron in Slack off land.
Slovakia. I've already forgotten.
Slip tongue, slip knot.
And doobly doobly doo.
Indeed. So yeah, since we can't use Doctor Doom because he's a fox, we're gonna use this. yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Theta protocol.
It's
just Theta protocol.
Yep. Giant helicarrier. Moving on.
There it is.
We get a cool underground base and a boat.
Oh, I wrote that quote down too. I'll go ahead and cut that, tick that one off. Let's team up. We should totally team up. We're on the same side. Let's make one shield, and then we can have a cool underground base and a boat.
It still seems that Mr. Whedon, not Joss, is like Joss Whedon has wrote himself into the show, into Age of Ultron as Ultron. It seems that I can't remember his brother's name. Hold on. Jed Whedon. It seems Jed is really writing himself in as Coulson.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Because he seems to be, between him and Hunter, the only two people that really seem to get constant Whedon quips.
Those are the only two that get the awesome lines, the one-liners.
Everybody else gets pretty good writing, but those are the only two that get the Whedon line.
Because there was even a mention of that, because Hunter said something.
Oh, it's great that this shield brain trust is working out real well already.
And then Coulson's like, uh-oh, that was about to say. He stole my quip.
Oh, you ruined my joke. I didn't write down a whole lot of notes on this. We're skipping the multi-million dollar movie.
Moving on. I just thought that was so funny. I was like, okay, well, that happened. If you didn't watch it, too bad. It just know that it happened, and it had something to do with this helicarrier, and we're all friends now.
Yep.
Let's see. Ready to start a war. We don't have to talk about that, because I had that written down for Gonzalez, and then it flipped around. And
yep.
This guy's mom wants to start the war.
It seems Gonzalez was genuine in trying to actually extend an olive branch in his weird biggest way.
Like, wait, this is not what I expected. And oh dear, this is not what I expected either.
And then Lady Deathstrike offs him with Terrigen Mist after explaining how there's so many Inhumans.
Yes, and I figured they would. I mean, clearly they had to have made crystals themselves somehow, but nice that we got the explanation.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad they didn't get too far in depth with it. It kind of bothered me that they really didn't get into what the relic was that they were trying to get. The weird liquid stone thing. They're like, oh, it's a forbidden technology. Oh, it's Kree. That's cool. Wait, we're never going back to that this episode, are we?
what does it do exactly?
It turns into a puddle and then a fist. And then a rock. That's its power.
It's Kree. Maybe it reverses the Inhuman stuff. Maybe. That's my guess.
I don't know.
Maybe it takes away their powers. They seemed very, very nervous about it.
Yeah, it just seems that Gonzalez and them have it just because it was cool and alien. Like, no other reason to keep it on this ship other than, hey, it's this cool thing that occasionally turns into a puddle.
Occasionally.
Only when we have the budget to afford it going into a puddle form.
And they did spend a little time redeeming Cal.
Yeah.
This is like the first episode where he didn't fully get on my nerves, and I kind of liked him.
Or came off as extremely creepy. He at this point seems to be genuinely concerned for the Inhumans and his daughter, so it's like, huh, wow. All right, you're clearly going to die because you're actually becoming a decent human being, and that's what the Whedon brothers do.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, he's going to die real soon.
Oh, yeah. You get them to care for them and then dead. Like,
he's about to die. But no, and I guess he's in on the plot, too, because they turned him over, but I know he drank all his magic rake juice first.
Yeah, he's going to go Hulk, and then he's probably going to get made. Get it? His bed is going to be made.
Indeed.
Speaking of redemption, hey, Ward and Creepy Mask Lady. Yay.
Yeah, I called that one. I didn't. Oh,
yeah.
I
have written down here. Jazz was right. Scratch.
Not a full-on mole, but she's a little more than that.
Yeah.
Changing faces.
Yep. So, I mean, yeah, they just happened to go too smoothly. I'm like, yeah, they're on the plane. I go, that's Electric Face Lady. Yep, that's Electric Face.
Yeah, no, I was confused right before they revealed it, because they showed May flying the plane with the other people, and then they showed May flying the plane with her, and I was like, wait, I thought there was more than one plane. Oh.
So what are they going to do with Mockingbird?
I don't know. I think they want to brainwash her or something and make her evil on their side, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't know. Be interesting.
You never know. You never know with Ward.
Yeah.
It's hard to read.
He just, like, they seem to have just shoehorned him into this one. Like, hey, here's something that's going to happen next week.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was literally in the stinger, and that's it.
Yeah, right?
This is our segue. Speaking of people who have just magically appear after a couple of episodes... And Fish is back.
Yeah. Nailed it.
The first segue.
Hold on. Where's it at? I have too many things. Is that it? Yeah, there it is.
No, mine's acting.
The title card that says Fox is Gotham. All right. Noted.
Duly noted.
All right. So, and we have a thing. We have a thing as soon as I can get to the correct folder, because I don't have an easier way of doing this.
All happy families are alike. Apparently there's a fish and a penguin fighting some guy called Macaroon on the streets of Gotham. Roll credits. Meanwhile, Bruce searches Wayne Manor for his father's porn stash.
So, season one, season finale.
That's why his dad built an elaborate bat cave. I mean, fireplace, secret passage.
Yeah, right? I'm wondering what they're going to find down there. Like,
I don't know. Maybe a giant computer and files. I don't think his dad was full-on vigilante, but he was doing something.
I don't know. So we have the epic conclusion of Barbara turning evil-ish, admitting that she killed her parents.
Called it.
Which I thought it was a little weird that she's just like, oh yeah, you're a doctor, come be my therapist. Like, that's not how that works. That's not how that works at all. She's done a licensed therapist. No,
so right when that happened, I was like, Barbara's going to do bad things.
Yep.
And then
I'm like,
you can't kill Inara.
Yep. You can't kill Inara.
Like, I don't know if she's going to kill her or not, but something bad's going to happen.
I'm going to guess possibly Harley Quinn, like, or at least a form of it.
Yeah, maybe. And nobody ate the red velvet cake. It just sat on the table the whole time.
Yeah, I know, such right?
Such a shame. Just skip the cake straight to the murdering. Well, attempted murdering.
Yeah, I know. The females in this entire episode felt a little weird. Like...
Yeah, nobody was quite in character. Like, why is Catwoman following anyone?
Yeah,
ever?
That's not Catwoman at all. Like, that's not in character whatsoever. Like,
okay. So suddenly she wants to be a lackey and she thinks it's awesome. Okay. I mean, is this going to pay off some way? No, no. Okay. No,
nope.
No.
She's going to
roll in. You were shot, right? You were shot, Fish. That did happen, right? Yeah. Okay. You were shot. And she just rolls in, starts her own theme gang and things get nuts.
Yeah, literally. Just Fish is like, all right, yep, I'm good now. We're going to walk in and we're going to be the rejects from freaking Blade Runner, and we're going to go with it. Don't argue.
I don't know. I was thinking more Mad Max, but sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
What? Why? Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is wrong with her hair? Oh, that's why she was wearing the chef hat, because her hair is ridiculous. Man.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah, Fish and, like, random feminism all of a sudden, like... Like, I don't understand. Nobody is making any sense.
Yes, why is Sal acting less cool and more like a douchebag? And, okay, yeah, of course you got shot. Were you thinking you were going to get shot for being...
Yeah, right? Yeah, he went from, like, somewhat intelligent criminal to just like, yeah, I'm just going to be an insulting person because the person that...
Insulting wise guy.
Yeah, like...
I'm number one, you're number two, right? Babe?
Don't call her babes, don't call her toots, or nothing like that.
Bang.
I'm just like, yep, I'm just like, all right, he's going to die. Okay, like, yeah. He's seriously going to turn around and, called it.
The man vexed me.
I do like Fish's things to like Marconi explaining what she's gonna do to him and to Penguin. You
put your head on the platter.
We're just gonna do you old school style. No problem.
I'll just kill you real quick. And you
we're
cool.
We're cool. Good. I'm like, well, that's in character. That's certainly in character for Fish.
Yeah, that's nice. that whole little sequence is fine. We're putting your head on a platter. You're gonna die slowly. We'll just shoot you. We'll do it the old fashioned way. And you we're cool. Sweet. All right.
Butch is weird in this episode too, and I understand why Butch is weird in this episode. He's the only one that has a driving force of being weird.
Like, yeah, yeah. He had the whole Victor's as
horrible ever. Yeah, he has a reason. His person that he thought was dead, his love of his life that he thought was dead, is back after Victor Zsasz just mutilated him. Yeah.
I never told us what they did. We could just assume it was real bad.
Oh, it was horrible. Clearly, this guy who was strong and, and willful all of a sudden becomes very, very, very submissive. Yeah. Everything, Jim and Harvey seemed on point, at least.
Yeah, they were pretty solid. And
Harvey continued to be the best part of Gotham.
See Batman. He stayed true to character.
Yep.
And
Alfred continuing to just insult him every time.
Alfred, I don't know. He's like... did Alfred know that there was a secret thing, and he just trying to?
No, he didn't.
Him,
he or? Was no his. He was clearly surprised when the firefly started moving.
There's not a secret thing, Bruce. Let it go. I'm
but
tired.
He's like, you're kind of dumb for thinking this, and let's just go to bed. Yeah, I'm just done. I just got stabbed 3 days ago. Come on. There's not a lot. Not much happened on this episode.
Lots of stuff happened. It was just a big old hot mess of things happening.
Yeah, it was just trying to shove everything into the season finale because we only have an hour because Fox won't give us two.
Yep. Let's see. So if you need a distraction for anything, bullets.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, we're in a mortal situation. How are we going to escape from this? Bullets. So bullets at some point. That distracts everyone, and we run away, and nobody can hit anybody with anything.
No, yeah, no.
I'm running down a hall with no cover whatsoever, and you're shooting an automatic at me, and you don't hit me.
With one hand! He somehow kills two people with firing a freaking machine, with a firing a damn assault rifle, in one hand! With no recoil!
And then he grabs two and he's double wielding.
Oh my god!
Because you're a cop and you know that that's accurate.
Yeah, oh yeah, two guns. Always better than one. The cool factor is what helps you kill people.
It guides the bullets.
Yes. If it's cooler, then it does it. It's like Wanted, where the bullet curves just because it's cool.
There's that. Let's see. The best Batman we've got. I use that as your quote, but yeah. I really like that quote. That was probably the best thing of this whole episode.
Yeah, and it's very factual. Marconi is actually able to control people and, get them to do things, and he's not a horrible human being. He just loves power.
Yeah, and you mean Falcone.
Oh, yeah, Falcone, sorry. He's the best bad guy.
Yeah, doesn't seem so smart, though. This gang war breaks out, and he's going to go out in public and hold chickens.
Yeah, that was definitely out of character for him.
And then we're going to go full rocket launcher? That seems a bit overkill. But okay,
yeah, right?
Sure. And we're going to, speed up on a motorcycle and peel out and pull out a rocket launcher and put it together to give you plenty of time to react and run away.
Yeah, right? Am I the only one who thought that the hospital being completely empty was really weird?
Well, it was supposed to be, because, Maroney paid everyone off.
But still, I don't know. It just felt really weird. They're going to be real pissed when they come back there and all the glass is shot out.
What happened? We got to patch all these bullet holes.
I really wanted them to shoot the commissioner. I really wanted Jim just to be like, all right, you know what? I'm not even going to stand here. Pop, done. I have a giant gun in my hand, and you're just standing there.
Whatever, sure. That whole scene, it had good tension, and it felt like a good Godfather-esque homage thing, but the gunfight just was a bit silly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird choreography in this. And considering how much we talk about choreography from Daredevil, it's just weird seeing such really...
Clunky.
Yeah, flawed clunky. Choreography.
Very stiff and clunky.
Yeah.
Didn't flow. We got an awkward elevator trope. Because, gotta work one of those in always.
Yep.
what was it, Gordon Bullock and beat a Falcone on the elevator.
Yeah.
Old lady and a dog. Sure, had to throw those in there every now and then.
I do like how they made a big deal about Falcone having a knife and getting ready to like assault Penguin and nameless lackey. Or he's named, but nobody can ever remember his name. not Butch. And
and Gabe?
Yeah. Gabe? Was it Gabe?
Yeah, it's Gabe. But he wasn't. Butch was with him at the hospital.
Was that Butch? They both looked the same to me.
Uh-huh. So you've got, like, henchmen.
Yes, I'm henchmanist. All you henchmen look the same to me. But they made this big deal about Jim's, like, don't kill them. And, like, neither one of them seemingly have any harm to them whatsoever.
I know. And then the thing with the knife was a nice touch. Like, that
yeah,
was
that
good.
Was touching. That was actually it very was, cool.
It was from his dad, and it's about, you know, he was a good man, but he understood that the city is whatever. But I think you can do good things. So go fight the good fight. I'm going to go retire because I'm tired. I got a rocket launcher shot at me. I think I'm good.
I almost got my head chopped off and put it onto a platter. Like,
it's been a long day, and I'm tired.
Yeah, I like Bullock. Like, do you got place down there for an old cop? Because I'd love to come.
No.
No, we need you. You're the only redeeming quality on this show most episodes.
I know. I'm gonna miss Falcone, but Falcone was around with Batman, so maybe he comes back. We'll see.
Yeah,
we had our nice epic rooftop fight where they did reference Fish's gun wound for a second there.
Yeah.
When Penguin hit her in the side and she's like, ah! supposedly she's dead. I mean, I know she's not coming back, but I've come to never trust when people fall into the water.
Especially a woman named Fish.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Penguin. I'm king of the world, of Gotham!
Yeah, I thought that too. I'm like, well, that's weird. Oh, God,
whatever.
Just stop.
Oh, whatever, Penguin.
Yeah, right. I wonder if he's gonna come back next season all fat and junk.
Probably not. We'll see. They've already got some henchmen lined up, or some Batman villains lined up for next season.
Yeah.
And but we did get our full Riddler.
Oh yeah, that was actually a great scene. Just watching
that was
him
cool too.
Slide into madness like that. It was actually really cool.
Yeah, Riddler.
It just seems like every show is trying to make their hero Batman. Quit trying to make your villains Joker. Like, we have Joker. Let's just let it at that. But this guy, no, he's like laughing maniacally like Joker does. I'm like, just stop. No, not okay. Just stop.
It's okay. He's like a Joker crossed with Gollum. That's okay.
Not really.
But... he's the Precious. No, we don't have Precious. We can age. She's going to keep looking. Ah, but they like it. Stop it. Arguing with himself. Like, okay. I don't know. I liked it, though. It was fun.
Hey, no, it was good. It was really, really cool. And, I mean, I've stood by the fact that Enigma is one of my favorite characters in this. Just because you're kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop, and it finally dropped. And it'll be interesting seeing the villains appear. Because the biggest thing that most people dislike about Batman is the fact that these villains mostly exist because of Batman. And they don't. In this universe.
Yes, I like this. And I'll go ahead and make a crazy prediction. He's going to go full Riddler at some point, and Miss Kringle will be his, like, henchman lady.
Yeah, will be his Harley Quinn.
Yes. I don't know if that'll actually happen, but I want that
to
happen.
It'd be fun to see.
Want some green and question marks at some point.
Yeah, right.
I want full Riddler. Crazy question mark jacket.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the question mark cane. And...
yeah, all of the question marks ever.
The green bowler and the question mark tie. I want it all. Just give me full Riddler.
So, I'm not sure if we're going to discuss this or go back over Gotham next season on Small Screen Spoiler Show. I guess we'll cover the season finale or season premiere for sure and then kind of go from there, kind of like how we did with Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean... just looking at what they've already slated out for season two, it's got me a little excited, and I'm hoping that maybe the writers and everybody can get kind of better congealed.
Yeah, because that seems to be the biggest issue with this. Is exactly. Is there seems to be no, like, there's only two characters that are consistent, and that's Jim and Bullock, and I get that, and I'm okay with that. But, however, when you have an entire series, when you have a tertiary character who's just horrible, and
he's a brilliant mastermind one episode and a bumbling idiot the next. And
yeah.
Hey, it just feels very inconsistent. So they have, if they can get their act together, I think season two of Gotham could be really good.
What I want out of season two of Gotham is I want a year jump, mainly to give Bruce the ability to maybe get the whining shit beat out of him by Alfred. Just take him down there and start training with him. Just beat the ever-living shit out of him for a year.
And puberty.
So his voice will stop cracking. I want Barbara recasted because I like the way that character can possibly be going, but I don't like the actress whatsoever, and I don't think any amount of acting lessons is really going to help her out that much. I just want a little bit more consistency with the characters in general and with the direction. You know, maybe get a proper showrunner for this and not have it try and be so serialized. You know, make it a little bit more episodic, because I think some of the stronger episodes of the entire season were the episodic ones. Balloon Man. I keep going back to Balloon Man, but because it was so over the top, but it felt so right for what they were trying to portray.
Yeah. And I'm okay, especially if they're sticking with 22 episode seasons. Don't stretch stuff across 22 episodes. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean,
I just decided.
You don't have the character strength, really, to be able to pull off a 22 episode arc.
Even if you're doing backstories on 12 characters or whatever you were doing this season.
Exactly. You just don't have that.
Better, more consistent, solid writing. It may have worked, but it didn't this season. So get on it. Fix it. And we'll see. Or if, you know, something better comes along next season, then sorry, Gotham. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're kind of holding you at arm's length here. Just ask Sleepy Hollow. We drop that, and we'll drop you, too.
We were all ready to drop Gotham, and then we dropped Sleepy Hollow instead. It's weird.
Yeah, which I'm kind of regretting, considering I think Sleepy Hollow was overall the stronger season. But because, I mean, I'm willing to give Gotham, because it's a premiere season, and I understand that sometimes the season ones are like just rough. I mean, look at Buffy. Season one was just bad.
Yeah.
And then came back in season two, and just season two is just so good at Buffy. Arrow's another one. Arrow came in on it itself, especially the latter third, like the last third of the season, and then season two is just like, oh, yes, this is great. But the rest of season one was just like, oh man, this is not good. Like, S.H.I.E.L.D. is another one. Like, it took 11 episodes for S.H.I.E.L.D. to get anywhere.
Indeed. And season two of S.H.I.E.L.D. I love.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently
season
some
two.
People have problems with it.
I don't know if it's because they have issues with season two of S.H.I.E.L.D. or if it's because they have hungover prejudice of season one.
Maybe. Or maybe they just don't like the comic bookness of it. Because, man, they're getting hardcore comic book.
Oh, yeah.
Which I love. I love, but can be a turnoff for some people, I know.
Exactly. So, let's go ahead, unless you have anything else, move on into Daredevil.
Do it. Let's pull out that stick.
Yep.
And eat something.
Gotta make sure I pull the right one.
Stick. Rutger Hauer stars as a blind Vietnam vet trained as a sword fighter who brings his sword stick to America to help rescue the son of a fellow soldier in this 90-day classic.
He's referencing, for those who don't know, he is referencing Blind Fury in that.
Okay. I didn't catch the reference. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm like, Rutger Hauer? What? What are you talking about? Oh, and then he messaged me. He goes, you'll get the joke after I explain it to you. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. So you ready? You ready for something?
I got to change my... There we go. Okay, now I'm ready.
All right. Both of these episodes were really, really, really good.
I agree.
Fully invested in this. Like, see, episode 7 was the weaker of the two, which made me a little sad because, like I've said over and over again, I love the character Stick. But when I say I like it the least, these are my two favorite episodes of the entire season so far. Like...
I can understand why. They were really good episodes. Especially episode 8, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, exactly. Episode 7, just, it was so, like, from start to finish, it was really, really strong. It built a lot of character for Matt. I'm glad, like, every time whiny kid Matt would say something stupid and whiny, Stick would beat the shit out of him. I'm like, yes! This is what I want, Gotham, by the way. This is what I want. Bruce to say something stupid and Alfred just to punch him. That is what I want.
Yes.
It's amazing that they were able to fit this single character in so well and give this single character such a strong standing in one episode.
We learned how to do flashbacks properly. Good job, everybody. Beating everyone up. Shut up. Dick, he's such a badass.
Oh,
he's also a dick.
Yes.
But he fully admits it.
Oh, just so good. You have the direct fallout of what happened last episode, which again was
awesomely casted.
Too. Yes. Oh yeah, that guy's amazing. The cool thing what I enjoyed with this episode is they kind of did a call out to what's going to be coming up in the last Defender show, Iron Fist. With the Black Sky thing. The Black Sky thing is it's an Iron Fist thing. It's from the mystical country of Kunlun, which is where Iron Fist gets his training. It's like basically like imagine like it's basically like Nepal, but with super art. It's like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Nepal kind of thing. And so they're referencing that hardcore, and I'm like, yes, this is what it needs to be. I've never made any hint that I am not that Iron Fist is the one that I'm investing myself in the rest of these, so I can get to Iron Fist.
It's all about Iron Fist.
Oh yeah,
it's all. We'll get there.
Last freaking show, Jesus.
I know. We're working up to it. They're working up to it. And we'll get some good stuff in between, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah. And if the rest
and
of the AKA season...
Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and then Iron Fist, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense because I'm hoping that Jessica Jones at least makes a reference in this, or it's going to be really weird. Like, because the rest of them tie in together, and I could see where that progression would go. I'm wondering if they just went with Daredevil first because he's the most well-known of
that
the four defenders.
That would be my
because Jessica suggestion. Jones and Luke Cage have a tie-in together. I'm not going to say what it is. It's a tie-in together. And Luke Cage and Iron Fist have a tie-in together. So that progression seems logical.
Yeah, I know the tie-in between Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. I read the Wikipedia article.
Oh, by the way, I got so much shit about reading the fact that I read Wikipedia stuff about Age of Ultron before seeing. I got so much shit about that. Not just from Daryl. Daryl almost had an aneurysm. Like, how could you ever do that? Like, I don't understand how you could even think about doing something like that.
Some people like spoilers. It's okay.
Yeah. I am like one of those weird ones that actively search them out.
I know it's hard for you to understand. You anti-spoiler people, you.
Yeah, but. Right. Yeah, I understand, like, the mid-range, like, you and Budlong don't actively go searching out spoilers, but, like, I have to stand against Daryl and his weird no-spoiler-whatsoever thing and be all the spoilers all the time.
That's what this show is for.
Exactly.
So you get them all out. You get them out so you can feel better.
Stick
his mic?
Yeah, Stick
Bad?
Is totally Mike. Oh, yeah. Completely Mike.
I mean, he even flat out says half measures in there at one point. I was like, I already thought you were kind of like Mike, and then you just flat out said half measures. No more half measures. I was like, what? Okay.
Yes, he's Mike Ehrmantraut. Like, he's completely...
I don't know. It kind of makes me want Jonathan Banks to be Stick at the same time.
You're right.
He doesn't quite have the physique. No. But he's awesome.
He's completely awesome.
You can just close your eyes and pretend it's Jonathan Banks.
I don't like normally writing my own titles in there, but I like martial arts Mike.
You can say it.
Yeah, right. I can't say it again. You didn't have a whole lot of anybody outside of Bat Devil and Stick in this. You had some Foggy and some like everybody else, but it was just a little bit of sprinkle here.
Mike,
and there.
Right at the beginning, had the old trope of we're going to talk about the vigilante superhero guy in front of you.
Yep.
Even though you are him.
Yeah.
Because every episode of every show, movie, anything ever, we have to talk about that person in front of you.
Yeah.
And have that conversation.
I really I'm starting to dislike the character of Karen because she seems to be just sticking her nose into things, just to stick her nose into things, and has a clear suicide wish.
Yeah. Luckily, Foggy saved her.
With a baseball bat. And a baseball.
Baseball bat.
thrown. Baseball bat. Weirdly strongly thrown baseball in order to knock out a hired killer in one hit. Like, I've been hitting the back of the head with a baseball. It hurts, but not enough to knock you out.
No, I thought it was just. I thought the baseball just distracted him. And then
it knocked him out. Then he started getting back up, and that's when Karen sprayed him in the face with the mace. Like.
And why does Stick have Daredevil powers? Or is he just that awesome?
He's that awesome, and also Kunlun.
Oh, okay. So more about that in Iron Fist.
Yeah, magical, mystical powers. Part of me, like, well, that's who I'm guessing he was meeting with at the end of the episode was the Elders of Kunlun, talking about opening the door and that sort of stuff. That was the most comic book thing ever, and I freaking love it.
Like, that scene, I was like, oh my goodness, this feels so comic booky.
And it was amazing. Like,
the silhouette of the guy with the candle burning in the middle and sticking. Like,
oh, it was so
good. Like, I'm looking at a page of a comic book.
Yes, just the bubbles needed to be there. Like, yeah, let's do this thing.
Oh, yeah, we're in.
You did get the origin of the proper sticks that Daredevil will use. He gets his costume, not just regular sticks, which he's shown which he has shown his proficiency with, but now he has
dim sticks.
Yep, and got to impress a stick, but at the same time be like, you know, you're dumb, just stop. I like sticks, just like, you know, this whole thing, you're so stupid for doing this.
Like, really? You had a woman in here and silk sheets. Pansy.
You should just sleep on regular sandpaper. Like,
any other sheet feel like sandpaper to me, pussy.
Yeah, right. I just loved it. Like, it was fun. He's so good.
And they do give you the little thing at the end. He does have a heart. He gets the bracelet.
Yeah, maybe. I liked that. Though it was kind of clear that he would have, like, but yeah, it's total Kunlun. I'm wondering if that's going to be the tie-in to the rest of the Defenders and not just like one 13-hour episode of the Defenders and then moving on into the actual Defenders.
maybe. We'll see. Maybe not. The stick fight was awesome.
Yes. It was more comic book. Oh yeah! Oh my god!
Man, like that—you could just feel how much that hurt.
Yeah, like everything just weighed. This one did feel a little bit more, well, a lot a bit more comic book than the other ones.
Yeah, well, they're too super.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing at all. But like,
yeah. Normal people don't break couches in halves.
Yeah,
in half when land on them.
No, I'm definitely not arguing in the fact that it felt comic book. Wow, we only got Scott Glenn in this for one episode. Like, this is the only episode with stick in it. You don't get a payoff on that.
Dang. That's a shame. He was so friggin' great.
Oh, God.
Oh, well. We'll get more stick. He'll be
season two, and he'll probably be... It wouldn't surprise me if he is a recurring character in all of them. He doesn't need to be, but it wouldn't surprise me if he is. If he is that one character... If he is not the Nick Fury.
Oh, he's the connecting tissue.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would not surprise me that he's the Nick Fury.
I like it. I agree. I'm all in on this. This is what I want.
Did I all of a sudden just like make this entire thing for you?
Yes. This is what they need to do. Do what CJ says.
Also, do it before that guy dies. Cause he was born in 1930 something. Like,
so he's Stick Fury.
Yeah.
Ha. Huh?
Oh,
oh man.
Oh, that one hurt. That one hurt. Was...
Anyway, the only other notes I have is Trump card, which I don't remember what that means.
I'm wondering if that was the Black Sky thing.
Maybe. It was towards the end, so I don't know if it was...
Or it might be the sticks.
What's his name? His flow chart with all the cards.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Maybe. I don't know.
And
I kind of like the accountant dude.
Leland?
Man, Leland. He's my comic relief in this show.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's just so, like, and as we're going to prove in the next episode, yeah, he's great. Just, he's freaking balls of steel.
He's not afraid of anybody, because he controls the money.
Yeah, right? And he just comes out and says it in this episode, like, you know, I control everything because I control the money.
Yeah. So why don't we discuss this away from the main?
Speaking of maniacs.
Shadows in the Glass. It's sympathetic bad guy time as Fisk takes a turn to flashback to his childhood, as we see that all fathers in Hell's Kitchen are 100% dicks.
Yes.
Yeah, they pretty much are.
So, all right, here's the one-liner. All right,
wait, before we get started with the one-liner. Oh, wait, no, if you got a one-liner, go ahead. And then I've got something to go off on.
You said every fourth episode in Daredevil is absolutely amazing in our chat.
Episode 4 and episode 8.
That is because they are both fiscally responsible.
Ba-doom-doom-doom. That was almost as bad as Nick Fury. Almost.
But like they're both Fisk-centric and Fisk-badass episodes. Just like, yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio just proves just further and further to be the greatest thing on this entire show.
Indeed.
He is so, like, amazing. Horrifyingly, awesome. Dauntingly, amazingly great and horrifying at the same time. And you finally, in this episode, got to see the raw Kingpin. Like,
and he's... You know, there's an evil side, but there's also the kind of the softness to him. And it's not
mommy issues.
All bad, but he's crazy, kind of. He's got serious stuff.
Oh,
going
yeah.
On, but...
yeah.
So, right. So like, yeah. Right after this episode was over, it's like, who directed this episode? Who wrote this episode? Surely they had something to do with Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It felt so hard, like a Breaking Bad episode.
Yeah,
like,
it really God. Did.
So I went in and I researched. No, nobody ever worked on Breaking Bad for any of this. So, but Stephen DeKnight, who created the series with Drew Goddard, wrote this episode. So it clearly, you know, it was one of the keystone episodes where, hey, we're going to explain Kingpin. So I'm taking this. And he's from the Whedon world. He wrote for Buffy and Angel.
Okay.
And then the director has just directed a bunch of TV stuff,
gotcha.
Including some Flash and Arrow and other superhero shows. So apparently they just, you know, went to this director's like, hey, you've directed some TV superhero stuff. You want to direct an episode of Daredevil? It's like, yeah, sure. All you got to do is make it a Breaking Bad episode. Okay. I'm
yeah,
all
sure.
Right, sure.
I like Breaking Bad. Let's do this.
I like Breaking Bad. Let's make it a Breaking Bad episode. It's like, because I mean, like the whole cold open, you know, with no dialogue, just Kingpin waking up, making breakfast and getting dressed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the bloody child in his mirror. And I was like, holy crap. Like, it's like a page straight out of, yeah. Crap, I forgot his name. Vince Gilligan. Vince
yeah.
Gilligan's book here. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, I was actually thinking the same thing. I'm like, I'm fairly sure I just watched this in Better Call Saul. Like,
yeah. I mean, it was like the whole formula right down. It's like, kind of, like, well, that was weird. And then very mundane, but you can see that there's a... like an OCD quality to it. Like there's
oh, yeah.
this specific order of things he does, and he always wears the same thing. And he always wears the same.
Again, it's because he's
and...
autistic and a sociopath.
Yes, that too. He's also the kingpin of eggs.
God damn it. For audio listeners, that was me almost ramming my head into the desk.
We're just putting them on heavy this week. I did actually write that one in my notes. Stick Fury was off the cuff, but Kingpin of Egg was that was in the notes.
Oh man. So yeah, we all thought that Jack Murdock or whatever the hell his name was a horrible
That's
father.
The worst daughter. That's
nope.
the worst dad ever.
Nope. Not at all.
You can drive your own son to beat you to death with a hammer.
Yeah, right. And,
man, you're the worst dad ever.
And have your wife saw you apart like the freaking Riddler in Gotham. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, holy crap. Like, this whole thing, I was like...
Like, I'm like, what? First of all, I'm like, why are they stripping him? I don't understand why you need to strip him. Like...
Get the saw. It's like, okay.
I'm like, she's not gonna do that. He's gonna wake up and, like, be terrified. Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
No, he wasn't gonna wake up. He got hit in the head with the hammer about...
Well, they had him twitching. Nice. Like, they showed the fingers twitching.
Yeah, the hammer. That was a lot of cranial
yeah.
trauma.
I think they just did the finger twitching thing to just to be tropey.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, wow. Holy crap.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Just, oh.
We understand the rabbit and the snowstorm at a whole different level.
Yeah, right?
Holy crap.
It is hard to talk about that. Like, it is...
This is a Breaking Bad episode. Like,
oh, yeah.
Just flashback of terror of the most horrifying, horrible thing, just sequence of events. Like, no wonder he's so effed up.
Yeah, right. Cole Jensen, who played young Wilson Fisk, he wasn't terrible for what he was given.
No, not at all. Like, for a kid actor, that's some heavy stuff to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just like, all right, listen here, kid. We're going to pay you a lot of money, but you have to smack your dad in the back of the head with a hammer on camera.
Yes.
And I'm even looking through the dad's stuff on IMDb right now, and like he looks really familiar, but I can't put him from anything that I would have watched. Because apparently he was big on the he was Hawk on The Wire, but I never watched The Wire.
Hmm.
Just he was so familiar to me, and I don't know from what. I don't understand at all what, like, I know him from. I'm just, like, screaming, like, who is this guy?
Yeah. So how about Vanessa?
Vanessa.
What an interesting character that they've turned her out to be.
Yeah, right? From just an art dealer to giving...
It's like full-on mafia wife.
Yeah, and like she delivered one of like the most touching like scenes of this entire season, like this entire freaking series so far, in her talking about him being a monster. And, oh, man.
Not a monster. Oh. Everything about him was so good.
Yeah, like, and then, like, even Charlie Cox, like, at the end, like, after, okay, the weird, like, sounding, like, almost like, I want to be your mayor. Like, I honestly, I'm like, all right, you know, I just met you, and this is crazy, but I'm Wilson Fisk, vote me mayor, maybe?
Vote for me, maybe?
Like, it just felt like he was making a campaign speech. I'm like, you literally just introduced yourself and sound like you're trying to run for mayor. Like,
Yeah. I got that vibe, too. No more in the shadows.
Yeah.
Almost. He beat Daredevil to the punch. Wasn't fast enough. All thanks to Vanessa.
It's going to be super, like, I'm... the lull that was episode 6, like I said then, was clearly building up to the third act. And even the episode 7 was a build to that third act. Or the second act, probably. And we're finally, like, we're into it now. And we're ready to go. And I had to stop myself from watching episode 9. Like, Netflix is counting down.
I was tired.
Like, Netflix is counting down. I have my finger over the stop button. Like, I really want to. And I'm not tired. But come on. I'm just going to watch Lost Girl.
Just redirect that energy.
Yeah. Into different parts of my body.
I love the exchange between Fisk and the dirty cop. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, he's basically telling him he's got to kill his partner.
Jesus.
So, it's like, but this is my friend. I've known him for, like, 30 years. Like, okay, I understand that. I do. I know where you come from. So, how much are those years worth to you? Give me a nice, nice round ballpark figure. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Unfortunately, we're running a little bit behind.
That was my last
go ahead and soup. Yeah,
oh, wait. I have one more note. A quote from Mad Murdock at the very beginning. Bats aren't blind. That's just a old wives' tale or whatever.
Yeah.
There's your Batman connection.
Yay, told you he's Batman.
Bats aren't blind. I'm not Batman. I'm Daredevil. I'm the devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah. Lord. It's almost as bad as they call the Flash the Streak before they actually start calling him the Flash. And it kind of drives me crazy that they're doing that they give the superheroes the most ridiculous names before they get their actual superhero names.
Yeah, why not just give them their superhero names?
Yeah.
Why can't they have their superhero names? Is there some kind of rule that you can't have that?
Yeah, like he's jumping around. Like they call him the Devil of Hell's Kitchen once, but then like, all right, well, like clearly he's some kind of daredevil because he's able to leap from building to building without any fear whatsoever. It's like he's a man without fear.
Devil of Hell's Kitchen. He's a man without fear. He's a daredevil. Okay, well, we're just gonna roll with it.
Yeah, it's like Smallville started a horrible, like...
Well, Smallville couldn't, because, you know, he wasn't Superman yet.
He could have been Superboy. Like, Superboy was a thing.
That's true. He could have been Superboy. Then now there was the... Oh, what was he? The Blur. That's what it was.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. And then the Hood from Arrow.
The Hood. Ugh. They even had that Green Arrow mention in there. How about the Green Arrow? It's a stupid name.
And then the Flash is the Streak. God, guys, come on. Seriously? One, that's really stupid. Let's not call him the Streak. Like,
at least they call Penguin.
Yeah, right. All right, so let's go ahead and put a lantern on it.
Let's look at the out-of-genre experience trick, where a show decides to switch genres on us for an episode or two. This happened on Daredevil this week, where we first see an indication of mystical forces with Black Sky. This is the first time it's been hinted at in Daredevil, and is even a big deal for the MCU, where even Thor's hammer is described as using advanced science and not magic. Musical episodes such as Buffy's Once More With Feeling are other examples of this trope, and Firefly managed to fit a medical drama into a space western, and every single iteration of Star Trek will, at some point, become a courtroom drama. Torchwood had an excellent example, where the gang assumes their monster of the week is an actual alien monster, and it turns out to be regular, though cannibal, humans.
I didn't feel that this was a weird genre-spanning episode anywhere. I like the fact that it did just introduce the rest of the fact that every other Defender is superpowered.
Superpowers.
All right. So, if you want to submit a segment to us, go ahead and email us an MP3 attachment to geekioshow@gmail.com. I was about to say Gmail at geekioshow.com. geekioshow@gmail.com, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 727-489-4335. And once again, I want to thank you, our loyal listeners, our loyal, can't call it, whatever we're going to call you, small screen loving people.
Spoilerers.
Spoilerers, yes. thank you so much. We are nominated for a Parsec Award to be given out this year at Dragon Con, which I will be at, and I will let you guys know more as time comes along on that. There's no real voting that you guys have to do, so... thank you. Like, seriously, thank you so much for nominating us, and more on that as we get closer to that award. and before we get on to just the last couple of minutes of the show, I do want to point you over to geek-io.net/projects/books. There's a link to that in the show notes. Yes, it's completely self-serving. I'm not going to lie. I wrote a book called Chronicles of Athalor, The Heart of the Deimos. And you can get it for free over on inkshares.com. All the instructions are over on that site. And for those who don't know, the Chronicles of Athalor, The Heart of the Deimos, is a fantasy novel set in a world ravaged by a war of magic. It has insane gods who play with the very fabric of reality. It has magics that bend what I've ever read in any kind of fantasy novel you can think of. Intense power struggles, and even, because it's awesome, a cyborg dragon, because why not?
Why not a cyborg dragon?
Because you need more cyborg dragons in your life. That is geek-io.net/projects/books or geek-io.net/athalor. Help me out on that, and I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. And because neither one of us watched our proper challenge shows, yay!
It was a busy week. A really busy week.
It was actually.
Lots of family in town and whatnot.
I actually sat down to watch Sherlock, and I only had half hour lunch the day that I actually was able to sit down and watch it. I'm like, if I can do an hour, I can reasonably watch Sherlock and watch an hour and then watch a half hour later. But doing in 3 half-hour stints, not really my thing. So I turned on HBO Go just because I'm like, let's see what's on there. And I was looking through the series and I saw Silicon Valley, and I'm like, I heard a lot about this Silicon Valley. Let's check this out. I watched 3 episodes of it over 3 days, but basically it is like the American version of the IT Crowd, not the American IT Crowd, which was really weird. I actually got around to watching that. That was really bizarre.
It was weird, wasn't it?
It was so weird. But it is
all the same, except, well, Moss is there, and
yeah.
Bill McHale, and everything's exactly the same, except really nobody weird. Has a British accent, except for Moss, because he's still there for some reason.
Yeah, right? It's basically, it's a grown-up IT Crowd. It's set in Silicon Valley with lots of swearing. Like, it's not a... there's no boobs or anything like that, surprisingly, on an HBO show. Oh, hold on. All right, sorry about that. It's a very interesting show. I'm not gonna go over it week by week. It's something I'm just gonna watch whenever I get a couple of seconds. But yeah, it's worth checking out if you have HBO. Silicon Valley, it's fun. It's super geeky, but it does kind of point out one thing that I hate with today's kind of internet culture, and they point out all of those horrible, horrible tropes in there. it's written by Mike Judge, so it's really funny.
I've heard good things about it.
It the company that they work for is Hooli, H-O-O-L-I. And like, they're trying to create different names for the Pied Piper program that he invents, and it's like, it ranges from like smaller SMLLR and everything like that. And I'm just like, you guys are literally saying everything that I hate with Silicon Valley. Shut up.
Well, that's what they're doing. That's what they're making fun of.
Exactly. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap this up then. Email the show at geekioshow@gmail.com. Twitter and Facebook are geekioshow. Again, you can call us 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. Website with everything on there is geek-io.net/spoilershow. And you can support this and every other show on the network at Patreon, patreon.com/geekio.
Show titles.
We have. You've watched Age of Ultron, right? Star Wars sheets. Aw, you stole my quip. Skip the cake, go straight to the murder. The Victor Zsasz workover. Henchman blindness. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Nepal. Martial arts, Mike. Stick Fury. Fiscally responsible. And at least Penguin is Penguin.
Absolutely.
Some good ones in there. It was our choice. But
yeah. All right. So anything else before we wrap up on out of here?
No. Let's go get some sleep.
Absolutely. All right, Andrew, take us out. We will see you next week on the Small Screen Spoiler Show. Bye.
This has been a Geek.io production. Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek and Geek.